Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Andrew will be quite pleased. All the scriptures are in the New Testament today. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'm going to talk about liberty. A few scriptures in Corinthians that brings it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. But there's an aspect that's brought out quite a bit in Corinthians. To do with liberty and how we are free, but gives us a certain amount of responsibility. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 18. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? You know, Israel in the old law, it was all part of being in the flesh. And then when you eat the sacrifices, that was for the priests and the Levites. They were the ones that ate the things that were sacrificed on the altar, so they were partakers of the altar. Verse 19. So he's starting out with that example. Verse 19. What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything. So after that introduction, he then brings out this idea of the idol. And so in the same way, the people that worshipped idols, they would also sacrifice things to their idols, and then they would eat that food. And so with this example, Israel understands, and we also understand that when people sacrifice, the Levites eat that food that was sacrificed at the altar, and they're partakers of the altar. In the same way, those that eat those things that were sacrificed to the altar, idols, are partakers of that idol. And it is an important aspect, you know. It says which is offered in a sacrifice to idols is anything, you know, that it is a big thing. Verse 20, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. Okay, there's another thing, you know, there's a separation that's required. Verse 21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? You know, the Lord wants us to do what's right. And when we do these things that are wrong, you know, provoke the Lord to jealousy. He's a jealous God, as we read in the scriptures as well. And we're not stronger than he. He is almighty. Verse 23, all things are lawful for him, for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Okay, now, so there's that explanation there, but then it finishes up with Paul saying that all things are actually lawful for him. He can do whatever he wants, you know, he has that liberty. But there's this important aspect that not all things are expedient and not all things edify. And then let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth or another's welfare. So you have in mind others more than yourselves, and which comes out in the scriptures a lot. And so we'll just, I introduced it that way just to show there's pretty serious stuff, you know, this sort of thing. Back when, not long after Jesus was glorified, it was pretty serious, this thing. It was quite common in the world at the time, and it was an issue that needed to be resolved by looking to the Lord. So we'll just go back to chapter 8, and it brings it together. I'll read the whole chapter. So 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. Now, as touching things offered to idols. Okay, so let's resolve this matter. We know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. Okay, so the idol itself is nothing. I mean, it says elsewhere in the scriptures, you know, it's just a block of wood, a stone, or whatever, can't talk, can't do anything. It's nothing. And we understand that. We worship the living God. There is no other God but one. Verse 5. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. Okay, we have this great knowledge and understanding, but not everybody has that. You know, we meet them every day. For some with conscience of the idol, unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not unto God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. It doesn't matter whether you eat it or not, it doesn't matter. Before God, it really doesn't matter. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which hast knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? Okay? So we, you know, in the Lord, you know, he's talking to spirit-filled people. There are people that really latch hold of things. You know, they grab hold of things and they understand aspects very quickly. And so you can imagine back in this time, there are some that, yeah, knew, it doesn't matter, it's food, whoop-de-doo, the idol is nothing. You know, they're quite confident in eating those foods offered to idols, but there might be somebody else who's just new or young, hasn't quite grasped it, who looks up to this other person and thinks, oh, they're doing it. You know, maybe it's okay to worship these idols, but because they're weak, you know, they're defiled, and then that person who's strong has impacted on the other person. So consider everyone else. Verse 11, and through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish. You know, it's a horrible situation, for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I'll eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Okay, it doesn't matter whether you eat or not, but when you're considering your brother in Christ, who you want as much as everybody else in the Lord to be raised up to meet the Lord in the air, then you care so deeply for them that you don't offend them. And if that means, you know, restricting your liberty, you know, you might be, do whatever you want, which you can, but if you restrict it, you know, you've got a responsibility. And, okay, fine, I'm not doing that because it's causing offence. And so this can be drawn to an example today, and I'm sure a lot of you know about it. So I'll turn back to chapter 10, and we'll start down in verse 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 25. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, or, you know, amongst idols and stuff, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. Okay, you're invited to a meal, which we often are, from people that are not filled with the Spirit, are not walking on in spirit and truth. You know, they're good mates, work colleagues, whatever. You might go to a work function, and they ask you to come along. Okay, no worries, let's go along. You know, and you're at the table, you just eat what's there. You know, not asking, you're not making a big deal about anything. You know, back then, you know, you're not saying, oh, have they been offered to idols? You know, no, just eat, just kick back and eat, you know, and enjoy the time instead of making a big deal about it. Verse 28, but if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So then we've got this extension around the table. You're eating away, but one person might pipe up. You know, they might know that you're a spirit-filled Christian and pipe up and say, oh, wait a minute, this has been offered to idols. And in that instance, everybody knows now. And so then it says there, eat not. For his sake that showed it as a testimony to that person. It's very practical stuff, isn't it? That's what I love about the scriptures. You know, there's this stuff about the Spirit and all that wonderful stuff, which is kind of, in a way, airy-fairy. Oh, let's just follow the Spirit. But then there's this chunky, practical stuff, you know? This is when you say, okay, fine, I won't eat this thing, because everybody now knows it's been offered to idols. And for that person who brought it up, watching me as a testimony for the power of the living God. So for that person who showed it. Verse 29, conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Okay, everyone knows it was offered to idols. You're partaking of that thing of idols, and it was brought up. Oh, right, you're really a Christian, are you? Okay, we don't want that sort of jibber-jabber going on. So how can we be evil spoken of? Verse 31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offence, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. That's our bigger picture. We want to see people saved. We want to see people walking in spirit and truth, raised up to meet the Lord in the air. So today's example is the alcohol thing. I remember I was very young in the Lord and still hanging out with quite a few mates from the world. And they knew, well, not all of them knew that we didn't drink, you know. So cold turkey, no alcohol. And I was invited up for a potluck meal. I've always enjoyed them because there's so much food, so much variety. So we have the main course, no problem. And this lady starts dishing up a trifle. And yes, you can smell the alcohol. It fills the whole room. It's obvious to us that don't drink alcohol. It's just pungent. So she's chopping up this trifle. And I thought, okay, this scripture, no worries. Okay, I won't say anything. And knowing that there was alcohol in it. But another one of my friends mentioned, oh, Philip, do you eat food with alcohol in it? And so I was brought up in exactly the same way in these scriptures. And so I said, no, I don't. But it was great. So first of all, I said, look, I won't have any trifle. I'll just have ice cream. And it was fine. And so I was just quite relaxed about that. I was eating ice cream. Everyone else was chowing down on the trifle. But I didn't take part of it as a result of it being brought up. And it's because of this practical... I mean, I was free to eat the trifle. I'm sure it would have affected me in some way, but I was free to eat it. But for testimony's sake, you know, and to shine as a testimony, I just had the ice cream. The poor lady, she felt really bad. The lady who was dishing up the trifle, because she didn't know, and she felt really bad. And so I spent the rest of the evening trying to reassure her, don't feel bad, it doesn't matter, you know, it's liberty, you know, I was fine with the ice cream, it's fine. And and recently it's come up again at work. You know, I really praise the Lord. Like he teaches us slowly, little bit by little bit. And so he brought that up, you know, around mates that I've known for a long time, as experience that I can draw upon, so that now, you know, there's curlier situations around people that you don't really know. And so at work, you know, this lady decided to bring in the Black Forest cake, and there was plenty of slop in it. There's no doubt about it. But she asked me if I'd eat. I said, no, I don't, you know. And then she brought in another one. But she started being worried. I said, don't worry about it. I just won't have that cake. But anyway, during the week, someone else piped up and said, oh, I didn't know that. And it just caused a bit of a ruckus. But because I had this experience to draw upon, I was quite comfortable in the environment. And so we have that liberty. We don't have to worry. It's just if someone pipes up, you just relax and just trust the Lord. And we've got this framework to work with. Back to chapter 9. So the first book of Corinthians, you know, was written to the Corinthian church, filled with the Spirit, didn't really have much guidance. They were looking to the flesh a lot, looking to the Spirit a lot. They didn't really have any structure. So we really praise the Lord that was the case. And Paul wrote the first book of Corinthians to try and line them up with the way they're supposed to be. You know, they understood their liberty, but they were doing all this other stuff that was just causing a problem. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 18. What is my reward then? Verily that, when I preach the gospel, I make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Okay, we don't abuse it. You know, we're humble people, we're just practical people, down to earth, and we go about as a good testimony. Verse 19, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men. You know, it's up to them. You know, we made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Just jump over to 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know, it's all about the gospel's sake. We're standing up for the gospel's sake. We have this great thing, this great life. We've got something to share, and we stand up for it. And we do that. We bring it all under subjection as it finishes off there, lest by any means, when I've actually preached to others, I then become a castaway, you know, result. And this also, this came up when I was early in the Lord. I actually asked the pastor, yeah, fair enough. I said to him, it's easy to be a Jew to a Jew, you know, like, because that's Old Testament stuff. You just, you talk like they were people that were chosen of God, and they believe in God, you know, and they don't do things that many other religions do. But I had a few Muslim mates, Hindu mates, Buddhist mates. I said, well, what about them? You know, like the Hindus, they have all sorts of weird sacrifices and things and do things funny. And he said, look, it says you just speak their language. You know, like, instead of building a barrier, saying, you know, you're just accusing them. You just speak their language. You draw to them and speak the way they speak. And even like the Muslims, I had Muslim housemates. And they don't eat pork, bacon, all that sort of stuff. So I was very careful, you know, not to accidentally dish up. Yeah, even though I knew it didn't matter. And also I would watch out for them. You know, I mentioned, oh, wait, this has got something else. And like something else might have some pork product in it. And so then you then gain them. You know, you work on them as a friend, and you get close to them, that you may gain them. And so we don't need to be obtuse about things, you know, very blunt about it all, and about the difference. And it's actually quite exciting. I mean, I was invited over to a Muslim friend of mine's house. You know, it's really great. And just having a big meal there, learning about the way they do things. You know, everyone has different ways of doing things, and it was just a lot of fun. And I still keep in touch with him, actually. And it's just that testimony that, and he asks about the church and about the spirit and things. And it's just a really good, relaxed atmosphere because of the instruction in the scriptures to draw near and to be a good testimony. Bringing under our body, bringing it into subjection that we may win others. Over to Galatians chapter 5. And down in verse 18, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, which we are, and we're not under the law, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And it's quite clear, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And then it finishes with, against such there is no law. Right? Different religions have different laws, different rules to follow. But those things, the fruit of the Spirit, there's no law against any of them. You know, and that other list, there's many things in there that are against the law. Verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Okay, being meek, that meekness and temperance, and not desiring to puff yourself up and shine above everyone else. You know, draw close, be humble, and not provoking one another or envying one another. Okay, we're all filled with the Spirit, and we're not out there to cause dramas. Praise the Lord. I really praise the Lord that there's a clarity and direction in the Revival Fellowship. I picked it up very quickly, that we don't get tied up in politics. So many religions get tied up in politics, you know, and which way to go. And everyone has different ideas, political ideas, which is fine. But we just look at what's in the scriptures, and we don't parade about what our political ideas are. And the same way, you know, people that have different customs, we don't parade around about as, you know, to offend. We preach the gospel, you know, frankly, as we all do, which is great. Not provoking one another or envying one another. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Okay, and well-doing, that testimony, and as Rod and Glenn are speaking to these foolish men that were relying on science falsely so-called. As free, and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honour all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honour the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. You know, you work as unto the Lord. That's part of that testimony. And as I mentioned earlier, that we are free, it says there in verse 16, as free. We are free. There's no doubt about it. Well, we've knocked off those shackles of death and sin. We're free, which is wonderful. And acknowledge that liberty that we have before God. We're righteous, as the opening prayer said. And we are worthy to enter the holiest of holies. We're free. But then, where does it say? I got distracted. But not using that as a cloak of maliciousness. We are servants of God. So it's a funny aspect is, yeah, we're free, but we're servants of God. That is where freedom is, by serving God. We are his servants, and we serve him because he knows what's good for us. We just do that as a testimony. Okay, back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So 1 Corinthians was sent to the Corinthian church saying, you're doing all this stuff wrong, don't you get it? You know, you're supposed to be doing this, 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 and this. I'll give you the framework. They obviously humbled themselves, and then the 2 Corinthians is written to encourage them and say, well done. You know, it's jolly good to see what you're doing. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Yep, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15. And that Jesus died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. This whole reconciliation thing. We have something to share, we've been reconciled to God because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and so then we can tell others. We are a new creature. Old things are passed away. As I read in Galatians 5, that first list, those old things are passed away. But these things, these fruit of the Spirit, that's new stuff, you know, and we have that. We have that responsibility because we have a great knowledge of the kingdom of God. Back to chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And just one verse here, verse 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, Praise the Lord for that. It's not by the flesh, not by fleshly wisdom, but it's the grace of God. We have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you would. Just a wonderful little scripture, wonderful little verse there that we can rejoice in this and be happy and relaxed. We have a peace and we have this great thing to share. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. So there's that that great thing. Like, we have that understanding. It is true. It's true. There's this flaming fire, this destruction. People will be destroyed, those that do not obey the gospel. It's clear, clarity in the scriptures. But for us, that word Maranatha covers it well. You know, it's great for some, terrible for others. For us, it's so good. When he'll come, we'll be glorified. You know, we'll be glorified. He'll be glorified in us, his saints. And we'll be admired by all them. Ah, they were right. Okay? All that time we're standing up for the testimony of the Lord here on earth, despite what was going on. Ah, they were right after all. It all happened. It's like with Noah, it did rain. He was right. Because our testimony among you was believed. Okay? This testimony is awesome power. And over to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. It's worth reading these. John chapter 4. That we look forward to being glorified, we keep our testimony, we are at liberty, there is a framework that we act in to be that testimony, to shine before others, and the Lord helps us as well as we gain in the wisdom and knowledge. And it all started with this, John chapter 4, well, this aspect anyway, John chapter 4 and verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is. I love it how it says that. The hour comes, but it's now is. Now it is for us, now, today, here. When true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So implant that in everyone's minds. You must worship him in spirit and in truth. And those scriptures I read there, that testimony and all that, that's part of truth. You know, we have the spirit. It's easy to walk in the spirit, praying in the spirit, talking about spiritual things, but then the truth bit. You know, keeping your bodies under subjection and knowing how to act in circumstances to be a good testimony. Over to Acts chapter 2, last scripture, Acts chapter 2. And this the beginning of the New Testament era, Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. This is when it all started, the new dispensation, the important part that we are a part of. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. In one accord, looking to the Lord as one. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise the Lord for that. Over to 32, verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which you now see and hear. Another important aspect. It's something you actually see and hear, something tangible, which we praise the Lord for. Down to 37. Now, when all those around them heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I love that aspect of Glennis's testimony, that this is the scripture that they read out, who spoke to her. What is the message of your church? And this is it. This is, as I've said before, the Ten Commandments were a good summary of the old law. And this here, this one verse, is a very good summary of the New Testament era, the salvation message. It's not the whole lot, you know, that's why we've got the scriptures, but it's a very, it's a good summary. This is where you get born again. This is the start of being renewed. This is when you are free. You shed the old man, you're a new man. And that's when you get saved. But to carry on in truth, that's where you read the scriptures and you plow through it to be that good testimony to win others, bringing your body into subjection. Okay, thank you.